We don't always need to know everything, but there is one thing that's always helpful to know. Here's Skip Heitzig.
I don't know where God is. I don't know what God's up to. But I know that God knows where I am, and he knows what I'm up to. That is such a transforming thought. I don't know where God is. I don't know what he's up to. God knows where I am, and he knows what I'm up to. Here is Job's view of the sovereignty of God. What is hidden from my eyes is not hidden from God's eyes. He knows. Furthermore, he's in control. This will revolutionize your periods of pain and darkness. If you can get your heart, not your mind, your heart around that.
Make the connection.
In The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and her companions discover that what's happening behind the curtain in Oz's throne room is far more important than what they first see. In looking behind the curtain, they discover what's really going on and who Oz really is. So it is in the story of Job, and with all of us. There may be times when we might not understand what's taking place, but that's only because we can't see behind the curtain. And there may also be times when God won't let us see behind the curtain, and instead will ask us to simply trust him. We'll look at that more today here on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But first, here's how you can help people peer behind the curtain of biblical truth as a member of the Global Connectors.
Statistics can be confusing, and numbers can be numbing. But let's pause and consider these two numbers. 6.7 billion people on Earth, and 41% of them are in people groups unreached by the gospel. Now put the Great Commission of Jesus Christ in the equation, and we face a decision. Make this the prime directive of our lives, or miss out on being part of exploding global evangelism. At The Connection, we broadcast these daily teachings nationwide, but we also air them in Central America and the South Pacific, Africa, and other international stations. But we'd like to do more, a lot more. That's where you can come in. We want to add new cities in England, Russia, and Mexico to our broadcast outreach, and we want to invite you to be a part of it by becoming a Global Connector. If you'd like to be a part of this expansion, you can support The Connection on a monthly basis. Consider becoming a Global Connector. Help us help them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For just $25 a month, you can join us in expanding the borders of these teachings. And when you become a Global Connector, you'll also receive a free monthly resource. This month, you'll hear a message about outreach from Doug Keene, pastor of Calvary Chapel Hastings in England. So, will you make a move and make a difference? Sign up to be a Global Connector today by calling 1-800-922-1888. You can send your monthly donation by mail when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Or we can automatically charge your credit card each month. Just call 1-800-922-1888 and become a Global Connector with your monthly $25 donation. You can also sign up online at connectionradio.org. $25 a month can mean a huge difference for someone who's never heard the gospel. Join Global Connectors and we'll keep you updated on our progress. Call today, 1-800-922-1888.
What a privilege it is to give people a chance to peer behind the spiritual veil in order to get a glimpse of God's love. I hope you'll call and sign up for the Global Connectors today. And speaking of peering behind the curtain, we're about to do that as we learn more about what was taking place behind the scenes in the story of Job.
And make the
In our series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, we're continuing on in the book of Job with Skip Heitzig.
Chapter 16, Job responds. Job's had enough by this time. Listen to what Job says. Job answered and said, I've heard many such things, miserable comforters are you all? If there's any counselors in the room tonight, this is a good verse to study, to be very careful how you approach people. Shall words of wind have an end? You know what he's saying, don't you? Would you windbags ever shut up? That's a free translation. Or what provokes you that you answer? So here's Job's friends who have reduced his suffering to a cut and dry philosophy, to just laws and formulas. Let me give you a piece of advice. Walk softly around a broken heart. Somebody has a broken heart, be very tender, very cautious. Walk softly around a broken heart. Job's friends did not. They try to explain it. One of the things we must do when people suffer is learn how to be a listener. A listener at that point. In fact, I'll go a step further. Be an unshockable listener. Because they may say certain things and have outbursts at that time that could shake you a little bit. Be an unshockable listener. Imagine if the body of Christ had hundreds, thousands of unshockable listeners. And the information stopped with a listener. How good that would be, how safe people would feel. Now Job wrestles. And as he wrestles, there's flashes of great insight. Chapter 19 is his defense to Bildad, the Shuhite. Chapter 19, verse 23. Again, a highlight of the book. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Little did he know. That they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. First he says, I just wish this whole thing could be recorded in a book. No, not a book, because that'll pass away too soon. Something more indelible, like lead or inscribed in stone. Again, little did he know that there'd be a whole book with his name on the top of it, 42 chapters that follow, that describe his story for his progeny and all generations to follow. For I know, verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer lives. You know what the Hebrew word there is? Goel. Goel. Remember that word way back, a few books back? Kinsman Redeemer in the book of Ruth? A Goel was somebody related who could buy you back out of slavery, who could redeem your land if you lost it, who could fix things and make things better. Oh, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. If you're looking for Jesus Christ in the book of Job, there he is. There he is. This is the Easter message as preached by Job the patriarch. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And even though I die, and I know that I'm going to die, it's pretty evident that soon I will die, I also know that I'm going to live. Well, how do you live if you die? If you die, you're dead. How can you live if you're dead? Answer, resurrection. The resurrection is pictured in the book of Job. And he says, I know my Redeemer, my kinsman Redeemer lives. This is in anticipation of the Redeemer who is Jesus Christ. So Job pierces beyond the grave into the future with great hope of immortality. He believes he's going to die. He knows he's going to live. Chapter 23. After Eliphaz's third speech, again, Eliphaz comes in, the oldest guy, turns up the volume, has more to say. Now Job replies to Eliphaz, chapter 23, verse 1. Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Now listen to this little section. Here's Job. I want to find God. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Verse 8. Look, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I can't perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I can't behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Let me sum that up. Here's what he's saying in brief. I don't know where God is. I don't know what God's up to. But I know that God knows where I am, and he knows what I'm up to. That is such a transforming thought. I don't know where God is. I don't know what he's up to. God knows where I am, and he knows what I'm up to. Here is Job's view of the sovereignty of God. What is hidden from my eyes is not hidden from God's eyes. He knows. Furthermore, he's in control. This will revolutionize your periods of pain and darkness. If you can get your heart, not your mind, your heart around that. When Nate was just a little kid, a few houses back, Nate, we used to play hide and seek. We'd love playing. He loved it, especially. We'd play hide and seek. The sun would go down and we'd hide in closets and count and find each other. Typically at first when we play hide and seek, he got really scared because, you know, where is he? I'm going to jump out at any time. After a while, he got very comfortable with hide and seek. And I remember one night we were playing hide and seek. And not only was he not afraid, but he was giggling, laughing through the house trying to find me. And what was good about that is it showed me that he didn't know where I was, but he knew that I knew where he was. He was happy with that. He knew that I knew where he was. Job can't find God, but he knows God knows exactly what he's up to. And he's okay with that. As he's wrestling through these episodes of pain, there are areas where he just kind of reaches the very pinnacle of faith. God can kill me, I'll trust him. I know my Redeemer lives. And now this. Years ago, a lawyer from Chicago named Horatio Spafford sent his family off to Europe on a vacation. He paid for it. It was on a luxury liner. He could afford it. But this wealthy man could not be prepared with all of his money for the heartache he was about to suffer. Horatio Spafford's entire family on this cruise liner had a horrible accident on the way over to Europe. The ship went down and all of them were killed, wife and children. As he was going over across the sea and the captain pointed out in the ocean where his family had gone down and his children had drowned. And here he is on the deck of this ship going over to Europe. And here's the spot in the ocean where his family has died, his children have died. He writes a song. And he writes a song that some of us have sung before. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. What a statement of faith at a time and a place like that. That's a highlight of a person's faith. You see, whatever you believe about God when you suffer, that's what you really believe about God. Well, Satan is finally silenced. God can be worshipped apart from his gifts. Job is left with nothing but God, but continues to follow God and continues to trust him no matter what. Whether God blesses him or buffets him, doesn't matter. He said, I can take it. I'm going to trust. I'm going to die, but I'll be resurrected. Well, chapter 27 through 42 is a series of monologues. Job talks uninterrupted. A fourth friend named Elihu comes in and reflects back accurately what Job has said. He's probably the youngest guy. He's a little impetuous. He gives his own philosophy, not much different from the others, but slightly. And then God gives a monologue. So we have physical malady, spiritual reality, mental agony, and now the last part of this book, Ultimate Victory. Chapters 38 through 42, God talks. Finally, the one who's backstage comes out on stage and speaks directly to Job. He ends the debate and he restores Job. Verse 1, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and he said, who is this, speaking of him, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? You know what that means? Who is this who clouds the truth with ignorant words? See, it's absurd to think that a creature can criticize his creator. Yet it happens all the time. I hear people criticizing God, shaking their fists, spouting off their philosophy. And God would say, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Do you really know what you're talking about? Have you gone backstage and you know everything? And basically, that's where God is with Job. Because look at verse 3. Now prepare yourself like a man. And I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Now, in chapter 38 and 39, God gives Job a science quiz. Okay, Job, let's just take some things that you can see in your environment, and you explain the mysteries of those beings' existence in the heavens, the earth, and several creatures that he picks out here. Verse 5, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? So look, I'm God. Let's get this straight, Job. I'm God. You're not. I made everything. You didn't. I maintain everything. You don't. And chapter 38 and 39 has that message basically, though garnished somewhat. Chapter 40, verse 3, listen to this. Job gets it. He gets it. Job answered the Lord and he said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. But God continues his monologue in the following verses, following chapters. His second monologue, if you will. Basically stating to Job that God is sovereign and he can alone can control what seems uncontrollable. So here's sort of the bottom line message in this second monologue. Okay, Job, if you can't understand my way in the physical world, and you can't understand my way in the spiritual realm that you cannot see, here's all the things I'm asking you about that you can see. You can't give me an answer. So how can you presume to think you know about what's going on behind the curtain backstage in the spiritual realm? So Job is now, chapter 42, verse 1, very humble, very submissive. Job answered the Lord and he said, I know that you can do everything and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. What a statement of sovereignty is that? You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Verse 10, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Interesting, he had to pray first for his friends, and then God restored everything. These are the friends that were miserable counselors, remember? Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days. It's a good description, isn't it? What did the old guy die of? Full of days, itis. I mean, you know, just he's an old guy. It's time for him to go. So he was blessed in his old age, but he died with the scars of a very difficult life. Here's where we ought to end this book of Job. Here's the thought we ought to have as we leave tonight. The notion that suffering in the hands of an all-powerful and absolutely loving God can be a wonderful tool for us. Be very careful not to assign everything that hurts you as bad. That's horrible. Why? Because it hurts. That's understandable. That's where you tear the garment and put sackcloth on the head like Job did. But you can't assign everything that hurts you as something bad. It might seem like it's bad. It could actually be very good. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt by his brothers, suffered, was thrown into prison, didn't do anything to deserve any of that stuff. Suffered, but eventually things turned. He became prime minister of Egypt. And he saw his brothers. Remember when they came in to see him and they thought, oh no, we're dead meat. Again, I'm free rendering here. We're dead meat, thus saith the Lord. And Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many people as it is alive this day. Yeah, you call that good, bad, and I used to call that bad too. It's actually very good. God used this. There's a philosopher named Peter Kreeft of Yale University who gave a very helpful analogy. Okay, so follow this. Imagine a bear trapped in a cage, caught in a bear trap, and a hunter who sees the plight of the bear and wants to release the bear. Now, the bear doesn't know that that's in the mind of the hunter. He doesn't have the ability to comprehend hidden thoughts of a hunter, even communicate. So the hunter wants to release the bear. The bear doesn't know that. The bear sees the hunter, growl, rrr. The only way to calm the bear down is to shoot a tranquilizing bullet, a syringe, into the bear to make him fall asleep. So, boom, syringe, boom, pelts the arm of the bear. Now, what does the bear think when he gets hit with that projectile? Does he think, what a loving, wonderful man who seeks my good? No, he thinks he's trying to kill me. In reality, the hunter's trying to free him. In the reality, the hunter has compassion upon him. And once the bear's out, he opens a cage, takes the trap off, sets the bear free. The bear cannot comprehend the motive of the hunter any more than we can comprehend the motive of God when he allows things to happen in our lives. So that's where that faith element comes in. What I know to be true about God. So, don't let what you don't understand about God shake you from what you do understand about God. You know, we get into this little spiral downward when we suffer. I don't know why God did. I don't know why God did. I don't know. Okay, go away from that position. What do you know about God right now? What are you certain of about God's character? Camp there. Don't let what you don't know about God shake you from what you do know about God. Camp on all those things you know to be true about your good, omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign, all-loving God. That's where you camp. But I don't, you don't need to. You're not seeing backstage. So you can't comprehend his mind. But know this, the mind and heart of God toward you is not destruction any more than God's was of Job, but one of love and deep compassion.
You know, asking why in times of suffering doesn't really help us find a way through our times of suffering. More than understanding why, what we need to know is how God will help us through and bring us comfort. And we can only discover that when we simply choose to trust Him in spite of our circumstances. Well, that's going to wrap things up for our time today. But first, if you missed the documentary Expelled during its theatrical run, here's how you can get caught up in a movie that had everyone talking.
The issue of origins is a question people have been wrestling with since there have been people. For centuries, it was accepted that the Bible revealed how this world and everything that lives on it came into existence. Then a man named Darwin came along and turned the world upside down with a theory that was widely accepted with very limited evidence. This month at The Connection, we would like to try and clear up some of the unnecessary confusion about this issue. In the documentary, Expelled, you'll discover just how resistant the academic and scientific community is to any theory other than evolution.
If you look at the details of biochemistry, molecular biology, you might find a signature of some sort of designer.
Wait a second. Richard Dawkins thought intelligent design might be a legitimate pursuit?
And that designer could well be a higher intelligence from elsewhere in the universe. Well, but that higher intelligence would itself have had to have come about by some explicable or ultimately explicable process. It couldn't have just jumped into existence spontaneously. That's the point.
Along with the DVD of Expelled, you'll also get a copy of the new lifestyle booklet, In the Beginning, from Skip Heitzig. You'll discover that the biblical account of creation is supported by more than arguments. It's supported by ample evidence. Get both resources for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And also, don't forget to ask for a copy of today's teaching when you contact us. Whether you'd like to review it again yourself or share it with someone you know, we'd be happy to send you a copy when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you click on connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free booklet from Skip's Lifestyle Series, In the Beginning. So call or click today. And if it is your first time to do so, we'll send you that free booklet from Skip. You can also write The Connection at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 877-207-8799. Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Next time, we'll move on to one of the most beautiful and inspiring sections of Scripture, the Book of Psalms, here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.